Spirituality. What does it mean? How do we maintain spirituality in our lives? Well, we've talked and have concluded that as people of the book, spirituality is based in the life of Jesus. That if we truly want to understand how to be spiritual, all we need to do is look to Him. Paul the Apostle wrote a letter to a church in Thessalonica, Greece. It's called Thessalonians. He actually wrote two letters to them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. The amazing thing about his stay in Thessalonica was he only stayed there, according to the book of Acts, for 3 Sabbaths. He spoke in the synagogue on 3 consecutive Sabbaths and then had to leave. 3 weeks. That's all we know. In 3 weeks, his question may well have been, did I do enough in such a short period of time? Is it possible that in 3 brief weeks, 3 times when those who wanted to follow Jesus met me in the synagogue, in the church, only 3 weeks, was it enough? Did it make a difference? That's why I think that 2 Thessalonians was so quickly written, it appears, just a few weeks after the writing of 1 Thessalonians, because Paul wanted to make sure that even though he spent just a brief time there, that it could make a difference, gain a foothold perhaps in the culture. And indeed, it did. Other places, such as Ephesus, the Bible says he stayed there years. Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians, he stayed there a long period of time, a year to a year and a half. In this place, Thessalonica, 3 weeks. It's amazing to see what's important, what Paul mentions after staying somewhere for such a brief time. I choose to take the scripture that was read for us just a few moments ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. This is where we park ourselves this morning, where God's word says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God the Father." These brief words, these character traits, are a fitting conclusion to our discussion of what it means to be spiritual. You notice that Paul mentions what I call the big three. The big three. In this passage, it's faith, love, and hope. These three seem to always rise or bubble to the surface in any discussion of what it means to follow Jesus, of what it means to be authentically spiritual. You're going to find these same three, the big three, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just a few chapters over. You're going to find it in Romans chapter 5. You're going to find these three mentioned of all places. The most famous is 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is, you're going to find them in Galatians chapter 5. Paul mentions them again. Colossians 1 verses 4 and 5. And outside of Paul's letters, the writer of Hebrews mentions these big three in Hebrews chapter 10. And then Peter, when he wrote his letters to anyone who would listen to a widespread congregation, a widespread population group in 1 Peter chapter 1, he mentions the big three. These are the three major components, ingredients, if you want to call it, in the recipe of spirituality all the way through the scripture. Those are the three I want us to focus on this morning. You may think, well, I understand what faith is. I understand what love is. I know all about hope. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But these three deserve our close attention. You notice that Paul has a phrase for each one. It's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. It's a steadfastness of hope. The Greek language, the language of the New Testament, causes us to have to make a judgment call here. In each one of these phrases, there are two components: a work of faith, a labor of love, a steadfastness of hope. Which one is the most important, I guess? Which one energizes the other? We have to make a decision. Now, the version we're reading out of translates it literally just as Paul wrote it. Other translations that you may have in your hand may do the interpreting for you, and you may notice that in the very phrasing of these three major ingredients, they've already made the determination. The ones who translated that version that you hold in your hand have already made that choice for you, and you go along with it, or maybe you have a different idea about it. Regardless, we have to make a determination. We have to determine which one of these words and these phrases energizes, is the subject, is the one that affects the other. I think it's going to be obvious as we talk through them. But let's discuss them briefly. The first major ingredient in spirituality and loving Jesus and living the Christian life, Paul says here, is the work of faith. Is it a work that inspires and energizes faith? Or is it the opposite? Is it faith that produces the work? I think we would all agree that the center of attention here, the energizer here, the main point here is not the work, but it's the faith. The faith that produces the work. You see, if you opt for the work that produces faith, then what do you slip into? You slip into that dangerous way of living that we would call legalism. Because you can work your fingers to the bone for many different reasons. You can work hard because you want a reward at the end. You can work hard because you're afraid if you don't, whoever's in charge of you, whoever the boss is, whoever has responsibility for you, is going to punish you. So work in and of itself becomes a way of life. It becomes a way to reach God. And we all know that it's the very opposite that the Bible teaches. It's not work for work's sake that happens to bring about faith, but it begins with faith, with a dependence upon God. And that dependence upon God and that trust in God then will what? It will produce all kinds of good works. That's what Paul's saying here. That's what he wanted to make sure that in 3 brief weeks, that's all the time he had with this congregation as far as we can tell. In those 3 brief weeks, what did he want to get across to them? That he was thankful for their dependence upon God, their faith in God that ushered in, that introduced, that produced all kinds of good works. See, that's what we've got to focus on in the life of our church. Is that we're here just to work for work's sake, just to expend energy? No. But our faith in God, our dependence upon God, our trust in God, then causes this congregation, causes this part of the body of Christ, in everything that we have, in our facilities, in everything that we do, the way we allocate money, the way we spend our time, the way we pray, the way we sing, in every aspect of life, it's that faith that produces those things that change lives. Second big ingredient here, it's a labor of love. Now, I changed the word here, work of faith, labor of love, because Paul changed the word. You know, you would think, well, work and labor are basically the same thing. And they are. They're synonymous in many ways. But Paul changes from the basic word that denoted toil to one that was even more intense. And that's why the translation is not work of love, though that's true, but it's labor of love. What's he mean? Once again, we got to make a judgment call. Which one energizes the other? Which one is the most important in this thought? And I think it's obvious. We say labor of love, that it's not going to be, once again, just hard labor that makes you sweat that produces love. But it's the opposite. It is love that produces labor. You see how just rearranging your thought of these phrases changes the way you live. It's not just laboring for labor's sake. It's not just so that you can pump up those muscles, however you want to put it. It's a labor that's been produced by a love. Once again, Paul chooses a very unique word for love here. One that means godly love. It's almost an English word. We've taken agape, which is the Greek pronunciation of this word for love, and we've turned it into just an English word in our language. Agape. Agape is the highest form of commitment of love. It is a choice. It's not an emotion, though emotion may come along with it. Hard labor, energized by love. 15, 16 years ago, it was July of 2003, our church had a mission trip for students. I went along on this trip. And I've been on mission trips for many, many years. Some of you have too. We have partnerships with an orphanage in Guatemala, and we travel to France. We go a long way across borders on the other side of the world because we feel this is what God wants our church to do. That we're to, yes, reach our community, reach our neighbors, but we're also to have influence all throughout the world. Well, I went on as one of 12. Some of our older high school students went on this trip, and we went to Costa Rica. And the reason this trip means, well, I guess it tugs at me more than any other, even though I've never been back since this trip. This is July of 2003, 16 years ago almost. It's because of what happened. It's because of where we went, Costa Rica, Central American country. But we didn't just go to Costa Rica. We had to backpack for about 7 hours through the wilderness, up a mountain, and we spent a week on what I just called the dark side of the moon. I totally cut off from any communication whatsoever. I had a satellite phone that I brought with me that we needed in case there was some traumatic event that happened. But otherwise, we were out of touch. We did that because there was an Indian tribe that lived, and this is on top of the, on a plateau that they lived, way above the river valley. That's their community center that you're looking at right there. We set up the little tents for a playtime with the kids during the day. But that's their kitchen right there. Next slide. This is their church. You can see that we're building on to the church. And we did work that was far better than what's going on out here. Because actually, my friends, those boards, we had to climb up into the jungle, cut down trees, bring them down, and turn those into boards. It was amazing. I mean, I don't know why. I sat there wondering, why are we doing this? You know, why? Well, reason's obvious. Next picture. That's my daughter, Lindsay, and her friend, Laura Brockington, who were on that trip. They were high school students at the time, standing there, and this is kind of the village area. The next one, that's my son-in-law, Robbie. He looks like a toddler right there, but he's, this is Robbie. This is when they were juniors in high school, I guess. And he's arranging some boards as part of it. And the next one, that's Brooks Monroe, if you know him, in our church. He and his wife, family are here. And those were some of the folks that, those were the kids, the young adults that we were with for that week. Next one. That was our group. There's 12 of us. This group of Indians, first day we were there, they were so thankful that we were there that they arranged for a banquet for us, a party, a wonderful dinner. And the main course of the dinner was dog. Dog. I walked up to the kids and the other adults there and I said, "We are being honored tonight because of our coming this way, because of what we've agreed to do and the work we want to accomplish. And this group of Indians are providing a banquet for us tonight, and the main course is dog. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take some, and then if you need to take your fork and just twirl it around, if you need to mix it up with something else." And it was as though I didn't need to say a word, because those kids and those adults understood that there was love going on in this relationship with people that we barely knew. So much that they were willing, because this was a great sacrifice for them, to give us this banquet and to feed us this delicacy in their culture. I never want to taste dog again, but I did. Because you see, hard labor, tough choices are brought about by love. Love that we just heard, we sang about, that's reckless. God's love. The third main ingredient is hope. The scripture says steadfastness of hope. Steadfast. There's a big old word. What does it mean? Some have said the ability to stay the course. Okay. The ability to plant your feet and not move. Okay. Hope produces steadfastness. Or is it just standing your ground? Is that in and of itself what generates hope? No. It's the fact that hope keeps us on track. Hope. My question is, have you lost your hope? See, it doesn't take much. All you need is enough light so that you're walking not toward darkness, but you're walking toward the dawn. You're moving toward hope. Hope, as described in the Bible, is a confident expectation of the future. This is all we need. As small as it may appear in comparison to the size of this room, We find it. We move toward it. And it produces in us an ability to stay the course. A work of faith, a labor of love, a steadfastness of hope. These were the main ingredients that Paul knew had to be grasped by this congregation that he only was able to be with for 3 weeks. And they're the same ones that we must cultivate and make part of our own spiritual DNA, what our church is known for, if we're going to reach our community and our world. You know, if you've been here long enough, that at the end of every service in a given year, we have a benediction, a scriptural, sometimes it's scripture, sometimes it's a prayer, sometimes it's, over the past 10 years plus, we have a new benediction every year. And some of you go, well, who chooses it? Well, I choose it. It's my prerogative to choose it. People make suggestions as to what it should be, and I always look at them and say, thanks for sharing. And it goes in one ear and out the other because I'm going to choose it. Just teasing. I get lots of good ideas from that. But the one that we have for this year, we've started back there at the beginning of January. It's a short one, not very long. It's worthy of you memorizing. It's from Romans chapter 14, verse 19. And what does it say? It says, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 14, 19. The family gathered at the table to have the celebration dinner. Mom cooked the whole ham. Before she put it in the oven, she cut off about 2 inches off of one end. The daughter looked at her mother and said, Mom, why do you cut the end of a ham before you put it in the oven? And she thought a minute and she said, because that's what my mother did. So the girl went to her grandmother. Said, Grandma, Mom cuts off part of the ham end of it before she puts it in the oven. She said she got it from you. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Grandmother smiled, shook her head, shrugged her shoulders. Well, because my mother did. The great-grandmother happened to be at the table. And they turned to her. And they said, we always cut the end of the ham off before we put it in the oven. My mother says it's because her mother did it. Her mother says it's her mother. It all comes back to you. Why did you do that? She smiled and she said, the oven was too small for the whole ham. I had to cut off an end in order for it to fit. Tradition. What we do. Why we do what we do. The benediction I've chosen for this year is to remind us of why we do what we do. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. We want to know why we do that. Not just because someone told us to, not just because it's written here in the book. But because it's written here in the book, it should what? It should energize and cause us to do all of the things that we do as a church. And from time to time, change up why we do what we do. And from time to time, maybe cut out what we do. Because what we do doesn't meet the needs of people. work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope. And a DNA which originates in the three main ingredients of faith, love, and hope. Let's pursue it. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church, to celebrate, to make choices. Father, help us in these closing moments to align our lives with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We wrap up this hour the way we do each and every time we gather for worship. It's our way of simply saying that when God speaks, he gives us the opportunity to respond. And really, when he speaks, he demands a response. So there's a choice that every single one of us will make before we walk out of this room in just a little bit. If you're here today and you've never said yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life, that he is the Savior of the world, the only begotten Son of God, who gave his life, a ransom, gave his life as a substitute. We belonged upon that cross. We deserved to die, but he died in our place for us that we might have life everlasting. If you've yet to make that choice, I want to urge you to do just that. It's a prayer. It's a commitment. It's a step of faith. It's done because of God's great love for us, and it's our hope. Those three big ingredients come into play when you meet Jesus. So if that's something that you're willing to do, want to do, want someone to pray with you, we have ministers and deacons here to do just that. If you're here and you know the Lord hadn't told anyone, tell us. That's what God says. If you've yet to follow him in believer's baptism, why not? What's the problem? Why the holdup? It's a symbol. It's a command. It's a picture of beauty. It's a sign of love. Let's talk about what that means and when you can experience it for yourself. And if you're looking for a church to call your own, here we are. Great churches all around us. I say that every time I give an invitation to join our church. But the key is find where you can plug in, find where you can serve, and then do just that. So joining our church, you step out, you come forward. That's the beginning. We invite you to join along, join with us on this journey of faith. But then, like I said, we're all going to make a choice. So think about those big three ingredients: faith, love, hope. You got to get those phrases turned around. You've just been working for work's sake. Focus on the faith. Focus on the love. Focus on the hope. And that's going to determine the direction in your life. That's going to cause the changes in your life. Make them. Pray for strength. Make that choice. That's our invitation. Let's go. Stand with me. As God leads, you step out and respond.